Tēnā tātou I te iwi, nau mai hare mai. Tēnā koutou ki ngā whānau, West Baptist Community Church. Tēnā koutou ki ngā waiwaitapu o tēnei ata. Good morning, welcome to you all, family of West Baptist, and especially a welcome to you if it's your first time here or if you're new here. It's great to have you with us today. And what is today? Today is Waitangi Day. It's a special day, and often I often go to say Happy Waitangi Day. I don't know if that quite covers it, so I'll just say it's Waitangi Day. It is today. That's what it is today. So tomorrow it's observed. Is it? Oh, it's the 6th tomorrow. Oh, heck. Oh, gosh. Okay, there we go. Let me off the hook. It's Waitangi week. I was looking at the TV guide. I was trying to figure out, is anyone streaming the dawn service in the morning? And I couldn't find it anywhere. That's right, because I was looking at the wrong day. Thank you. Oh, hopeless. Well, there we go. I don't even have a sermon to preach anymore. No. It's Waitangi Day tomorrow, and we're preparing for it. And it's a reminder to us all. What is it? It's a reminder to us all to celebrate, but also to mourn the history that this country holds. It's an important day, especially for me, as both Pākehā and Māori, and a bunch of other stuff as well. So it's a really important day for me to look back over our history as a nation. But we're also in the middle of our series on Matthew. And so today we're going to be seeing where they overlap. Where does the kingdom of God and the message of Matthew overlap with the kaupapa of Waitangi Day? And so today we're looking at Matthew chapters 7 through to 8. Chapters 8. 8 through to 10. Typo. So a quick refresher for some of you who might not have been here last week, or for those of you who were last week, but just need a bit of a reminder of what happened. Last week, we rushed our way through the first 7 chapters of Matthew. And so I want to applaud you all for making it all the way through. It was fast-paced, massively condensed, and had no visual aids. But it was really important to lay the foundations of what is to come from this week onwards. So well done. You did well. And so last week, we opened up 3 key themes that will continue to permeate throughout the Gospel of Matthew. And these are what those themes were. The first is that Jesus is the continuation of the line of Abraham and of David. That means because he's from the line of Abraham, he's part of a line which is called to become a blessing to all nations, to all people. And because he's of the line of David, it's a line of kings. That's the first theme that continues throughout Matthew. The second theme is that Jesus is being depicted as the new Moses, who will bring freedom from slavery, new divine teaching, save from sin, and initiate a new covenant with God's people. Theme 2. And the third theme, finally, is we draw on this idea of the incarnate God, Emmanuel, or God with us. So those 3 themes continue to come up throughout the Gospel of Matthew. And so as I mentioned, today we're looking at Matthew 8 to 10. And so if you remember back to last week, we had the introduction, but we also had the first section of 5 sections in the Gospel of Matthew. And this resulted in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount was all about this upside-down teaching, throwing things out of what was known in the culture at the time. And so this section was all about Jesus announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God. Well, this is the second section, which is all about Jesus manifesting the kingdom in people's lives. So it leads nicely into this section. And so now these 3 sets of 3 stories of healing, miracles, and grace make up the next couple of chapters. We've got the story that we saw this morning in the video, in the clip, of Jesus healing a man with leprosy. We've got the story of Jesus calming the storm. We've got the story of Jesus casting out demons. It's jam-packed with 9 stories of the kingdom of God entering into people's lives in a very tangible way. Again, it's Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And in between these 3 sections of 3 stories, we have this call. These involve Jesus calling people to follow him. And I believe this happens as the author is trying to convey that it is only in following Jesus that we will get to experience the fullness of the glory of God's grace in the kingdom of God. And so then this section ends with chapter 10, which is a chapter of teaching. In particular, Jesus is teaching his inner circle of 12 disciples what to expect. Get ready, because this is what's coming. And so Jesus tells them that some would accept the message of Jesus and therefore would accept the 12 disciples, but also some would not accept this message. Especially, Jesus makes a special point of calling out the religious leaders that they would not accept the message, and therefore would not accept the disciples either. They would face persecution because of it. And so that's the broad overview of the section that we're looking at today. But the part that I want to focus on this week is Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to open it up, or otherwise just turn your ears, and I'll read from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. And so this is what it says. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." The officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this,' they do it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. It's an incredible story of grace and Jesus bringing the life of the kingdom into the life of the Roman soldier. And in this story, we have someone who is not supposed to get it. Get it. The Roman soldier wasn't supposed to get the message, but he got it. He had this faith, this unshakable faith. And so the Gospel of Matthew is written to a Jewish audience, and the Jewish audience of the time deeply believed that they were the people chosen by God. And it's true, they were. But Jesus also came to bring a way for all of humanity to have a relationship with God through him. And that idea comes down more and more clearly throughout the rest of the New Testament. But for now, what's important to know is that for all intents and purposes, Jesus is expecting the people of Israel to understand and believe what he is doing and teaching. And so when this Roman officer comes to him with such humility and faith, Jesus is amazed. He can't believe it. He makes a special note to say that this man has got it. He gets it. He has heard and understood who this Jesus person is, and he believes in the power of Jesus' grace. This opens up a wonderful opportunity for Jesus to talk about and foreshadow one of the key ideas that will come up throughout the New Testament, this idea of God's kingdom for everyone. And this is that God is not just the God of Israel, but the God of all things, all people, all nations. It will not just be the Jews who will feast in the kingdom of heaven, but there will be many Gentiles or non-Jews, people of all kinds in the kingdom too. And this is a huge claim for Jesus to make. And while this may feel like second nature and it's almost intuitive for us, yes, Jesus is for all people, for those around him, for the people around him hearing this, it's a huge claim for him to make. And so, see, through Jesus, all people are invited to participate in the kingdom of God, the upside-down kingdom of God, which heals sick people instead of sending them away, like in the video. The upside-down kingdom of God, which repays evil with blessings. The upside-down kingdom of God that welcomes those that are overlooked and marginalized, not out of charity, but out of genuine love for the individual. And so let's keep these ideas in our mind. Jesus is bringing the reality of the kingdom of God into people's lives. He was back then, and I believe he still is today. And that kingdom welcomes all people. And so as we today think about Waitangi Day that's coming tomorrow, what does Jesus' message have to say to us and the people of Aotearoa? Well, over 180 years ago, we had the signing of the founding document of our nation, Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And we remember this day by celebrating Waitangi Day. And for me, this is a time to reflect on the history of our country, which is, despite what schools may teach, massively intertwined with the story of the church and the work of God. And so I want to make a statement here to say that Māori are a people after God's heart. They were a couple of hundred years ago, and whether or not they know it today, they are today as well. You see, often in conversations I have with people, I hear lots about the missionaries bringing Jesus to the Māori people or bringing the gospel to the people of this land. And I want to make something very clear here, that long before the British Empire arrived, God was already at work in the place of Aotearoa. Long before Captain Cook, long before Samuel Marsden, long before the CMS. And I believe the same goes for any Indigenous nation that was colonized. Pākehā did not bring Jesus to Aotearoa. Jesus was already here. And so I think of, there's a Māori prophet named Toiroa who he had these crazy prophecies of a people that would come to Aotearoa's shores. He would make and dress in clothes that resembled that of the English wear at the time, you know, that really frilly stuff. I don't know what it's called. But you can picture it, right? He'd dress in this, and you can think about it. Like the people 200 years ago, Māori, the rangatira and the people of the villages looked nothing like that. So this guy's a bit of a, yeah, he's a bit out there. That was one of his things. He'd do that, and he crafted tools and pipes, like smoking pipes, that would resemble those which would come to our shores. But even more impressively, in 1766, 3 years prior to Captain Cook's arrival, Toiroa said this. Te ingoa o tō rātou atua, ko tama I roro kutia, he atua pai. O tira, ka ngaro anō te tangata. And that translates to, the name of their God will be the son who was killed. A good God, but the people will still be oppressed. You see, for me, God was already at work in this land, long before Captain Cook arrived. He was already revealing himself to the people of this whenua. And I believe that as Christians, sometimes we get so caught up in the doing good deeds or having sound theology or the ruthless pursuit of truth that we forget who's building the kingdom. It's not us. We're not building the kingdom of God. Jesus is. We are invited into the kingdom, and yes, we're even invited to participate in it. But at the end of the day, it is the Spirit of God and Jesus, God incarnate, that is building the kingdom. And now I don't have time to share all my thoughts on the spirituality of tangata whenua, but my summarized thoughts are this. Pākehā brought things that were good and beautiful that aided Māori in their discovery of Jesus. The Bible, for example, an incredible resource that especially the initial missionaries, they learned the language, they translated it so that Māori could learn and read of the spiritual awareness that they had. But they also brought lots of destructive things under the banner of the church as well. Often it were Māori prophets that God used to reach his people in his nation. And when that happened, many, many lives turned towards Jesus. Why? because it just makes sense. Emmanuel, God with us, wasn't brought by people, but the Spirit of God establishing its kingdom here. God uses Māori to reach Māori, just as God used Jews to reach Jews. There's nothing abnormal or strange about it. And when these Māori leaders taught about the gospel, tangata whenua grasped it tightly, and it spread like wildfire. And when these, and the likes of Taumata Akura, the faith of Tarore, and Te Wiramu Ratana, made huge waves amongst my people. And these were stories of God revealing herself to her people. And this kingdom was not a Pākehā kingdom, but a fully Māori and fully Christ-centered kingdom. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that the Jews don't have a monopoly on God in the same way, but the kingdom of heaven will include many Gentiles. In the same way, Western Christianity does not have a monopoly on the kingdom of God either. And so my hope for my people is that God will continue to reveal herself in a way that reaches their hearts, in a way that looks different to what we know, that sings different waiata than we know, that speaks a different language than we know, that expresses the breadth of our God in ways that we don't yet know. Anyways, I could go on forever talking on this topic and never wrap up, but what I want to challenge us all to think about today is this. Jesus came to build the kingdom of God. He wants us to follow him and participate in this. Jesus, not us, not the missionaries, but Jesus. And so as we continue and consider this passage and the idea that that Jesus' desire is for the kingdom of God to manifest itself in all people who would receive it, ask yourselves, what does this look like? And as we think about others around us who might come from a different place to us, who might talk a little bit differently or might have different opinions, we'll take some time to adopt a posture of humility. And as you do that, begin to ask yourself, am I participating in the kingdom that Jesus is building? Or am I building my own version of what I think Jesus should be doing? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are the source of goodness, of love, of peace. God, we know that all good things that we have, all blessings come from you. And your desire is to bring your kingdom into the lives of each and every one of us. And so, God, as we come to Waitangi as a time of remembrance of our history as a nation, Lord, would we keep kingdom vision eyes fixed on you. Lord, would you lead us in our week as we seek to participate in the kingdom that you're building for us. In your name we pray. Amen.